That old school bell tells us it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're getting ready for lesson number 49 of this Bible school. So what you need to do at this time, if it's possible for you to do it, is to go get your Bible and be turning to 2 Chronicles 34. We'll be looking at a continuation of a lesson that we've had at earlier class sessions that is in 2 Chronicles 34. Now, while you are doing that, I'm going to tell you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain is located between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. And we have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we are doing is going back into the past and looking at Sunday school lessons that were written by a preacher that has been long departed by the name of E.A. Elam. He wrote Sunday school lessons to be used in churches for the year of 1922. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson he wrote for Sunday, May the 21st, 1922, where he is bringing us lessons that we need to learn from 2 Chronicles chapter 34. So if you'll open your Bible to that at this time, we'll do a quick review and get on into this lesson. And the significance of this particular story we're looking at from 2 Chronicles 34 is when Hilkiah the priest went into the temple that Solomon had built after it had fallen into disrepair, and it needed to be cleaned out and refurbished. And King Josiah sent him and others in there to clean that temple up so it could be used again. And while they were in there, Hilkiah found a copy of their Bible. Now, they didn't call it the Bible then. They called it the Book of the Law of Moses, and that would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those first five books of the Bible. And this is the writings that told them how they were to worship. At the time of Moses, there was a tabernacle, and he told them about the services that they were to have in the tabernacle and the different feasts throughout the year. And then, of course, later Solomon came along and built a temple in Jerusalem under God's directions and built it according to God's pattern. And all those services that we read about in those early books were conducted in and about that temple. But they left the Lord and they forsook his worship, and the temple fell into disrepair. That's why Josiah called the priest, said, go clean up the temple. And while they were in there, they found that book of the law. That just shows it had been neglected for years. And they began to read that, and it worried them about what they had seen, because there were curses in that book about what would happen if they forsook the Lord just as they had done. Let me read this to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and I want to read verse 21. Here it says, go ye, inquire of Jehovah for me, and for them that are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of Jehovah that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of Jehovah to do according to all that is written in the book. Notice the importance of doing all that is written in the book. Let me carry you to some of Elam's notes. Beginning with that very passage, Elam wrote, these men of Josiah went to inquire of Jehovah concerning the words of the book that was found. He was sorely distressed over the present sinful condition of the nation and the dire calamities which must befall it on account of its sins. To inquire of God was to go to some prophet. The prophets represented God to the people, and His will was revealed through them. God said, for instance, that Moses should be as God to Aaron in the book of Exodus 4:16, and to Pharaoh, Exodus 1:7, and that He would put His words in the mouth of Jesus as that prophet of whom Moses was a type, Deuteronomy 18:15-16, and Acts 3:24-34. Priests offered sacrifices to God on behalf of the people and represented the people to God. Jesus, as a priest, appears in the presence of God for us, Hebrews 9:24. It was also the duty of priests to teach the people, Leviticus 10:11 and Deuteronomy 31:9-13. And when they were faithful to inquire of God for the people, in the congregation and apostasy of the nation, there was sometimes not a teaching priest. Josiah was interested in Israel as well as Judah, and wanted to know God's will in reference to all concerning the words of the book that was found. His reason was, "For great is the wrath of Jehovah that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of Jehovah to do according to all that is written in the book." He acknowledged the sin of the people and the justice of God. Hilkiah, now this is beginning in 2 Chronicles 34:22. Here's the comments. Hilkiah and those with him went to Huldah the prophetess. She was the wife of Shalom, keeper of the wardrobe. This may have been the king's wardrobe or the holy garments of the priests. Huldah dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. Well, the authorized version, that's the King James Version, calls this the second college. Where this community or settlement was is only conjecture. It is mentioned in Zephaniah 1 and verse 10. Why did these men go to Huldah? Well, probably because in the sin and rebellion of the nation, there were no men through whom God could speak, and He must speak through this God-fearing woman. This seems to have been the case a few times in the history of God's people. Deborah's another example. Probably Zephaniah had not yet been established as a prophet in Zephaniah 1:1. Jeremiah had been prophesying 5 years, Jeremiah 1:7, but he may not have been accessible. And they spake to her to that effect. These men told Huldah about finding the book, about its contents, the apostasy of the people, the impending punishment, and the deep distress of the king. What is here related is all we know of Huldah. Now, I want to inject some comments here. We read about Huldah being a prophetess and the men coming to her to inquire about what the Lord had said. I'll tell you what we don't read about. We don't read about Huldah standing up and preaching. Sometimes people have gone to the Old Testament and found women like this that were good, godly women and some through whom God spoke. And they try to use that to justify women preachers. In contrast to Paul's instructions to Timothy that the women were not to usurp authority or to teach in the public assemblies. And yet they'll run back to these passages. Yet in the New Testament, we read about godly women like Priscilla who would sit down with men and teach them. And it's very different to sit down with men in a setting such as this and to teach them and to stand up and try to be their preacher. And Huldah did not do that. But they did go to consult with Huldah, and God spoke to those men through Huldah by giving her the words to speak and gave them counsel in this particular setting. Now, 2 Chronicles 34:23. Having heard them, she responded, "Thus saith Jehovah," God spoke through her, "the God of Israel, the God of the 12 tribes, tell ye the man that sent you unto me, the following verses of the lesson contain the message." Verse 24 of 2 Chronicles 34:24, "Thus saith Jehovah." This expression introduces what Jehovah said to the messengers and to Joash. "I will bring evil upon this place. the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king. Well, you can read about these curses in Deuteronomy 28:15 through 68. They were inevitable because the people had gone too far into apostasy that it was impossible to turn the tide. Josiah could check it for a while, but so soon as he should die, the rushing waters of rebellion would sweep the nation on to destruction. 2 Chronicles 34:25, the sins for which the evil and the curses foretold were coming are here stated. The people had forsaken God, burned incense to other gods, and provoked him to anger by all the works, and that is the various carved and molten images and all kind of idols of their hands. Therefore God's wrath was poured out upon that place and could not be quenched. Burning incense was a sacred service to God, and the people had committed the sin of offering such service to idols. 2 Chronicles 34:26 and 27. God sent the following encouraging promise to Josiah. As touching the words, that is the curses, which thou hast read in the book of the law, because thy heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and hast humbled thyself before me, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith Jehovah. God has promised to always hear him who is of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at his word. Psalm 34:18 and Isaiah 66:2-5. God hears those who hear him, and refuses to hear those who refuse to hear him. I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. I have called unto them, but they have not answered. Jeremiah 35:12-17. He that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. 2 Chronicles 34:28. The blessings pronounced upon Josiah was that so far as the evils foretold in the book of the law are concerned, they would not come during his life, that he should live out his days in peace and be gathered to his fathers, and that's the way it expressed that he would die, before their fulfillment. His godly life and reformation among the people stayed the punishment that long. This demonstrates the mercy and forbearance of God. It demonstrates, on the other hand, how easily wicked kings led people into idolatry and general apostasy, and how difficult it was to lead them back to God. It's always been impossible, it seems, to turn the tide of apostasy. It has been checked, and individuals have been saved from it, but it gains new strength and leads on to destruction. The same principles so work today. Well, Josiah and the people made a solemn covenant. 2 Chronicles 34:29-30. Read these verses with 2 Kings 23:1-3. Josiah continued his good work by gathering the priests, the Levites, and people, both great and small, and reading himself the word of God to them, and making a solemn covenant to serve God. Under verse 14, comment is made on studying the Bible. We're almost through with this lesson, but we won't quite get through. You'll have to make sure you're on time for class tomorrow so we can finish this lesson up and go on to the next lesson, which is going to be about Jeremiah the prophet. And so until then, this old schoolmaster says, you may be dismissed.